Well, hey, you made it. David here.
Vern here. Welcome to the GIST Podcast.
If this is your first time listening, then thanks for coming.
The GIST Podcast is produced every week for your enjoyment, mostly ours. Show notes for every episode are found at thegistpodcast.com.
Come back often? Feel free to add the GIST Podcast to your favorite RSS feed or iTunes. You can also follow David and I on Facebook at The GIST.
All links are in the show notes. Let's start the show.
That's a good idea.
It's not bad. It's okay. I like that. That I can deal with.
So we should just like get in it.
That's about 1,000% better, just so you know. So thank you for
You're welcome.
Risking all of that. Why am I the center of attention here?
You're only the center of attention because you looked. Consider that we're all being recorded.
Well, we are all being recorded, but if we were robbing a bank right now, I would be the prime suspect.
So like, we better not rob any banks
right
then.
Smack dab in the middle. Okay.
Yeah, it's all good.
Episode 11.
Yep.
We are on our way to 100.
And we have a special guest with us.
Very special guest.
Very. Word.
Aaron, why don't you introduce yourself?
This is an audio introduction, video introduction. My name is Aaron Russell.
And you're probably going to need to project yourself a little bit because this is the mic here.
That's the mic. Aaron Russell. I am a graphic recorder, a graphic designer, a artist, father.
Father of five.
Father of five.
Yeah, not just a father. Like
we also call those people crazy.
Yeah, we're in it to win it. My wife comes from a big family, so I knew that was pre-existing criteria. Pre-existing condition was
that's insurance terminology.
Yeah, the desire for lots of kids. So yeah, my wife homeschools them and
makes your own sweaters and stuff.
Yeah, even our kids traffic in the idea, like, just because you were homeschooled doesn't mean you have to look homeschooled. So they know what homeschooled hair is.
That's awesome.
Anyway, so I'm reinventing myself in 2017, so.
Aaron is not giving himself near enough credit, but a super talented guy that really captures what people are up to through the art of doodling and illustration, unlike any I've ever experienced. And we have the privilege of using him in some of the work that we do with our clients in capturing their dreams. And it is always a pleasure, Aaron, to do work with you. And I look forward to the next one, which is up and coming.
Yes, sir.
And it was an impromptu, right? Like just last minute, I guess you guys had a bit of a rather extended coffee meet.
I'm a little late is what Dave is trying to get at.
Yeah.
Me and Aaron were together this afternoon for about almost 3 hours and got to know each other a bit and shared some ideas and some concepts. And I found out just exactly what a graphic recorder is, because I'm pretty sure most people don't know what that means. But what's the actual conference doodler, right? Is that what
conference doodling was the name I gave to myself originally, because that's where my dissatisfaction with the visual content that conferences were producing arose. But I'm not sure that that'll be the name that I mean, it may be that I do AaronRussell.com and Umbrella and put
and you're
various
just
things
a conference
underneath
doodler
it. Yeah.
Kind of thing.
And I love what you said about capturing people's dreams, because, you know, he made an insurance concept that I don't know what that face was for, but he drew an insurance concept that I explained to him and really just brought it to life and made it, you know, I mean, I'm already excited about it, but it is very exciting and clear and unlike anything that you see out in the world. Doesn't matter what industry you're talking about. Those presentations a lot of times are just dry and boring and stuffy and the same old and the same old and the same old. And Aaron brings it to life.
A little breath of fresh air in a pen.
Absolutely.
I can dig it.
Can't dig it. So, yeah, we're at episode 11 and we have some background creative going on, which obviously you on the podcast will not see it. And we might not be able to capture it after all because that camera stopped recording and I have no idea why. And I'm okay with that. So we'll just go on with the show.
Yeah, I mean, we could maybe post some pictures of this.
Absolutely.
Doodling for sure.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll give you a PDF. You can download it and print it if you want or something.
Yeah, nice.
Speaking of which, maybe it was because I was late, but I must have missed prep time. Like, what are we talking about here today?
No, there hasn't been any prep. So, episode 11. What are we talking about?
Let's do it. Well, let's, you know what? This is actually great because the podcast is all about raw and authentic and unedited for the most part.
You know, it's a segue into a continuation of the conversation we had on episode 10 about living in a context of 100% fuck yeah, and what does that look like? And what has that looked like, maybe? You know, looking from there, and
very cool.
Let's have that conversation.
Yeah, I definitely have some things I could share around that, for sure. I think, you know, most people I would think that actually know me know that I'm a fairly large advocate of cannabis. And it's all legal. I've got my card and whatnot. So, however, in recognition of being at cause and creating my life and living a life that is 100% fuck yeah, I think we all go through times in our lives where we deal with certain psychological challenges. And as of late, I've been using cannabis and not a lot of alcohol, but alcohol and cannabis as sort of more of a coping mechanism rather than therapy. And that just doesn't work in my life and what I'm trying to create. So I've made a commitment for an undisclosed amount of time to set down the bottle and set down the pipe, as it were, with a caveat: the exception of the epic party we're going to throw on this weekend.
That's right.
And then after that, 100%. But all week.
Oh, that's great. Great caveat.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, come on. I did speak out of turn a bit when I said that last week. So Monday night, Tuesday night, like, we're talking a pretty close to an every night kind of thing for me. And not a ton, but you know what I mean? It's just sort of a habit, a routine.
And it starts to wear on some areas, I would say, that are critical to building momentum or to continue the momentum that you've built.
Yeah.
And I'm speaking from experience in that, like, the justification to have a bong or to have a drink when you're not actually complete with X yet.
Yeah.
And you could actually use that last couple hours to push that over the finish line, maybe.
That's right. Prep time. It's really important. Prep time and routine. And, you know, if you're staying up late and you're sleeping in, you're just not as effective as you could be. And it's so funny when you make these kind of choices in your life about creating more structure and creating more discipline, all of a sudden the universe just answers the call and starts to pour in all of these resources that were obviously there beforehand, but blinded from your view. It wasn't something that you were looking at. And so I've been because I've already been introduced to this particular individual, not personally, but I don't know. Do you know of a gentleman named Jocko? Give me a second with the last name. Anyway, I'll look it up. Jocko. Everyone knows Jocko. Knows him by Jocko. Is W-I-L-L.
He's a local guy or what?
No, he's an ex-Marine Corps commander in the U.S. And now he's him and one of his colleagues have created a company. It's a leadership consulting company for corporations, for businesses.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and he's been on like Joe Rogan podcast, Tim Ferriss podcast, and he's got his own podcast called the Jocko Podcast. And clearly, Marine Corps commander, he's all about. Yeah, Will Inc. Yeah, and he's all about discipline and structure. And he wrote a book called Discipline Equals Freedom.
Is Jocko his real name?
I don't know, but look at that face. Would you ask him?
That he looks like a Jocko.
I would ask him.
Would you question that?
I think he would eat you, but...
He's got to close the doors.
Yeah. Anyhow, he talks about obviously discipline and having habits that don't serve you, that you're anything in access is not good for you, right? So I'm still a huge advocate for medical cannabis, especially if it's used in the right manner. But you need to pay attention to your habits and the things that you're doing. And clearly, if I use the word coping, that means there's certain things in my life that need to be dealt with that I wasn't dealing with and not looking at. So I've recommitted to getting back to the gym. So I made it to the gym 2 out of 3 days this week. This morning, I was done my workout, crushed it by 7 a.m.
Nice.
And that's a really good feeling. And it sets the tone for the day. You've already had an accomplishment. So that's uncomfortable, but it also is 100% fuck yeah. It's like you wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning and you're like, okay, gotta go. That, you know, there's a whole lot of stuff, especially for me, running in the background that says, are you sure?
You could use another hour.
You just, you know, and the funny thing is I got up on Monday, away I go to the gym, did legs. I'm still feeling that pain and it is epic. And then on Tuesday, I wavered. I gave in. I got up early, dealt with my son, and then I came back to bed for some reason, probably because my wife was all warm and cozy in there, and I gave in. I didn't go to the gym. And
you succumbed.
Yeah, and I slept in a bit and had an off day. And then went to the gym today and crushed it. So that's just
a pattern that shows up, eh, when you really allow yourself to look at it.
Yeah, how do you mean? I think I'm picking up what you're laying down. But
well, the pattern laid out pretty clearly for you what happens when you do take on those uncomfortable things that maybe at your core you really don't want to take on.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens when you do and what happens when you don't.
That's right. Yeah, totally. Yeah, and so the reason why I brought up Jocko is because, like I said, like right in the same time as I made that decision, all of a sudden, where did I first get reintroduced? It was on the Tim Ferriss podcast. It was on there and it said discipline equals freedom. And he actually was hosting Tim Ferriss's podcast because Tim Ferriss was away on some retreat. And then I started to listen to it and he's just a really, obviously an intense individual. And he shares a lot of things about his past and his leading troops into battle and what that was like for him. And he's a very intense individual, but he's also, unlike not all, but some ex-military people, he still has like a level of humanity about himself that he's able to look at situations objectively. He's not like 100% like, get your ass out there and just get it done. Like he looks and he says, look, you know, if you're a couch potato, you can do something, right? Because he's all about physical fitness and discipline. He's like, you can start, right? Just start. Get in the game. Go for a walk. And he's like, you know what I mean? So just get back in there, create a habit, and as he likes to say, get after it. So I've been getting after it this week.
Awesome. Well, good for you. And I'll be on your ass to help you keep going. and you bring up something really cool because let's say I am that couch potato and I'm listening to Jocko and he's saying, just do something. And he's saying, even if it's just walking, and then something happens in your mind, in my mind, as couch potato, going, yeah, but what's the point? Like, what's that going to do? That is a strong hill to overcome, right?
Like, absolutely.
That one, while it's almost, to give it the lip service of it's easier said than done, What would you say are those things that have you cross that precipice? Because clearly there's something there that is driving you and it's deeper than just to get it done, right? Like there's something else that's got to really pull you in order for that walk to feel like it really would make a difference.
Yeah. there's a couple of quotes or mantras that I'm going to say, and then I'm going to follow it up with answering what I think is the second part is sort of a question almost to me, like what's actually pulling me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So for that person, if you're out there or hypothetically speaking, if you're a couch potato and like you said, like, what's that going to do? I'm going to go for a 10-minute walk and then what, right? I'm going to start. Maybe it's choosing not to eat the late night cupcake that is so easy to eat. I've had butter tarts sitting in my house that I have not touched.
Wow.
This week.
I'd have destroyed those.
Imagine. Yeah. And they are literally my favorite thing. My wife makes amazing butter tarts. Haven't had any. I've been, you know, drinking some protein shakes, having a nice omelet in the morning. I have not been super.
Carrot.
Yeah. No, but you know what? I'm usually, and this is actually how I set myself up for failure. I'm usually an all or nothing guy. Like, let's just get in there. I got to do this program at the gym and I got to eat this food and da, da, da. And so what I'm not doing is I'm not following a workout routine. I'm just going to the gym. I'm either hitting the bag or I'm doing work. I don't care. It doesn't matter. Because at the end of the day, I'm creating a habit. I can always commit to some program or plan later.
That must be freeing for you.
It is freeing for me. It's difficult.
Yeah.
Which is weird, but it is freeing. It's like, you know what? What do I feel like doing today?
Yeah.
I'm just going to get my body moving. Yeah. Just get the body moving. Get a sweat on. So that's one thing. I kind of get off track there. Yeah. So normally I'm kind of an all or
there's
nothing
some,
guy.
Yeah. So there's some mantras. Right?
Yeah. It's a mantra. So one thing that I would say to myself is obviously doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result is Einstein's definition of insanity, right? You cannot do the same thing over and over. It's mathematics. It's very simple, right? If you stay up late every night, likely you're not going to be that great at getting up in the morning. You know, it's just, you know, so don't stay up late and then get pissed off at yourself for not being able to wake up at 5, because go to bed earlier.
Yeah, right. The formula was broken.
That's one of the things that Jocko was saying on the podcast is he's like, a lot of people struggle with getting up in the morning. He's like, but you know what? He's like, if that 4:30 alarm goes off, he's like, just get up and get after it. Because guess what? If you start getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning, 4:30 in the morning, you're going to be tired earlier and you're going to want to go to bed. And if you fill up your days with things that are productive and exciting, you're going to be tired, right? Rather than sitting around doing nothing. Because, you know what I mean?
Yep. You know, to that point, I was up at 5 o'clock this morning.
Bam. Yeah.
And it's so funny. The operating system is maniacal at the best of times. And the night before, I created the intention, like, out loud for me. I'm like, okay, you can do this. You've done it before. This is not a big thing, right? And I had my fail safe. So there was my 5 o'clock alarm. There was my 6 o'clock alarm. And then my 7 o'clock alarm just in case. Mm-hmm. But when that 5 o'clock alarm turned on, I wasn't up immediately.
Yeah.
But it was within 5 minutes where I just decided to get up. And then it was out. It was on.
But you know what? Consider, no, I don't know. This is a bit esoteric. But I mean, the decision was already made.
Mm.
Even in those 5 minutes, you were going to get up.
Yeah.
Right? Because you...
Well, I created it before.
Yeah, you created that. So another mantra. This is... I actually love this one. It's really simple. If you want things in your life to change, you have to change things in your life. That gives you responsibility and it empowers you. It's like, wait a minute. I want things in my life to change. So I got to change things in my life. I'm at power. I'm at cause of that. I get to like eat different food, get up at a different time, go to bed at a different time, hang out with different people, like whatever it takes. But I get to make those choices, right? So the guy who's sitting on the couch, wait a minute, I haven't gone for a walk in an evening in like a decade. Okay, so if I go for a walk, maybe not tomorrow, but if I keep doing this consistently, things will change, period. They just will.
And that's what you get to surrender to. Is that it's not going to happen the way the voice that is defeating inside of your mind would say. It's not going to happen that way because it's unrealistic. But you're setting something in motion and you're just allowing it. You're just surrendering to it. You're allowing it to be.
Yeah, I like that language, and it might be hard for a lot of people to get that, but. You know, surrendering to discomfort. Because normally, like a human being, I think I was talking to Aaron about this earlier, but, you know, the job of the human being by default is just the human being brain is just to stay alive, stay safe, stay alive, right? So that looks like not taking risk, not asking for the business, not asking for the date, not getting out of bed early, not doing the things that we deem as challenging even, right? So there's a lot of discomfort. The minute you make a declaration for your future, like, oh, I'm going to get in better shape, I'm going to lose 30 pounds, there's instantly a gap between now and getting there.
Totally.
And where we quit, where we fail is, okay, I've been doing it for 2 days, I've been doing it for 2 weeks, I've been doing it for 3 weeks, and it's not really getting any easier. And I don't really notice a whole crap load of results. And I just don't feel like prepping my food tonight. And I don't feel like prepping my clothes for the gym tomorrow and my clothes for work in the shower after. I'm just going to take tonight off. And then we slide a little bit, right? And then we slide a little more. And then we slide a little more. And then you just keep, Jocko talked about this podcast, you just keep and then all of a sudden you're so far off the rails, you don't even know where to start again.
Well, you're right back to where you were.
Yeah, you're right back to where you were. You default back. And so the key is have fun and play with it. Be like, wow, this is fucking really uncomfortable, but I'm just going to keep doing it to see what happens. Because guess what? I don't actually know what's on the other side of doing this for a year.
Yeah.
I don't know what's on the other side of creating this as a habit, right? So that's where the freedom comes in. But inside of the discomfort is really easy, use this word earlier, to justify, you know what, this isn't really working. It's easy to justify going back to the old routine.
Yep.
And right when you feel like having that conversation, I implore you to have that, whatever your mantra is. If I want things in my life to change, I got to change things in my life. Well, I've been doing this long. You know, for 20 years or 30 years or 40 years, I've been doing it this way and my life looks like this. Maybe I should just try to keep pushing through and keep on doing this to see what happens.
Hmm.
And to answer the last part about it, what pulls me, what has me actually want to get out of bed and to prep and have more structure inside my business and all those sorts of things is just that a couple things. One is my health, obviously. I want to take care of my body. I want my body to work when I'm in my 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. You know, I always hear that from older people. And obviously your body over time is going to not work.
There's inevitability.
It's inevitable, right?
Yeah, but sure.
I always hear from people who...
And there are 85-year-olds, 90-year-olds that run marathons.
Run marathons, exactly. And that's my point. Like I hear from people who are in their 50s and 60s and they go, you know, and I'm not judging them, but I know what they do physically. And they're like, oh, wait till you get to my age. And I'm thinking... Man, I gotta hit the gym because I know for a fact you've never been to the gym, right? So that's one thing, is my health. Another thing is I'm actually really curious about this whole being uncomfortable thing and living a life that feels alive. Like how often are we actually alive and excited about things, right? So it's exciting to get up and go to the gym and test yourself. It's exciting to take a risk. You know, the Aisha, she nearly friggin', it was hilarious. She was super uncomfortable. All I did, gym was almost completely empty. But on Monday, I just laid in the middle of the floor. Like I was practicing getting ready for the mall. Because I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
But she was just like, oh, this is really uncomfortable. And I was just laying on the floor. It's no big deal to me. Like I didn't think anything of it. It's like, because we're having this type of a conversation. So I just want to feel alive. And I want to be excited about life. And that's really pulling me. So I'm curious to know, is discipline actually the secret to my freedom? Let's find out, right? And the final thing that I would say that really is kind of scary to me, I define it as personal hell, is waking up one day when it actually is quote unquote too late, 60, 70 years old and going, holy fuck. I didn't live my life and I'm really afraid of that. So I want to just live my life on my terms and take action. So
it's no coincidence that that's now segueing into what was brewing in my mind. And there's this thing that I've been exploring because I created this context for 100% fuck yeah. And almost immediately, when I'm journaling in the morning, there is possibility present. Like I'm thinking it through, and I'm making note of it. But then the minute the opportunity to take an action happens, I get stonewalled. Mm. Like I stonewall myself. And I've been reading a few things. And what I'm exploring now is what are those things that I am really scared of? Like in me living that context where I am completely self-expressed and I am making requests of people or reaching out to people and without inhibition of any sort. And that's one of my big fears is like a one to just take that action. So I'm looking before I go there. So I'm looking to see, I've been making a list of what are those things that are really holding me back to have that life show up. Like what's preventing me? Where am I wanting to be safe? Like what am I wanting to be safe from? And then starting to peel those things apart.
And what's the payoff?
What's the payoff? That'll be something that I add to it. Because it's so real. Like it's created so real and so matter of fact, and it's so quick, you don't even realize
that's right
that it happened.
That's the danger.
So are you asking what are the obstacles to? Well, you're saying what are the fears that you have? So those that's identifying things that constitute resistance.
Absolutely, yeah.
Mm. The question I would want to put alongside with that because that's focusing on which things are in your way. As you're talking about wanting to reinvent yourself, and I'm thinking about seasons in the past where I actually was successful at executing a major change. I think to myself, well, what ingredients were present when I did it in the past? Because these were things that I'd wanted to do for a long time and couldn't. But something happened eventually one day where I woke up and the behavior was there to manifest with all these ideals and aspirations, and all of a sudden I was like, I'm not a smoker anymore. Mm.
You bring up a really good point, actually. That's really good.
So if it could be formulaic, if it could systematically, to set myself up for success in the future, what things do need to be in place so that discipline has longevity?
Yeah.
And so that I could be serious about recognizing, oh, that's going to be an obstacle. Okay, I'm not going to go there anymore. Butter tarts. Don't buy them or what?
Yeah.
Well, and there's an opposite to that as well, because if I look at what it is that I want to do in creating meaningful connection with people, there demands a willingness to go into an uncomfortable area that is putting myself out there and getting to know another human being, either by making calls or in documenting the journey, pulling out my camera in public places where it's just me. Mm-hmm. Like I got this major thing about recording myself in public places.
What are you, a photographer or something? What do you think?
Yeah, who are you?
Who do you think you are? Right. Are you an artist or something?
Yeah, and it's like
it's insane. And I know it's only up here, but
yeah.
But then what if it's out there too?
Mm-hmm.
And it just stops me.
Yeah, that's interesting. Two things. What Aaron said, this is something that Scott brings up a lot, my coach, is you really want to, when you're making changes in your life and you're getting different results and things are happening, you really want to get present to what structures do you have in your life that are actually allowing and helping you create whatever it is that you're creating, those new results. You got to get present to it because you need to create more of that.
You got to be able to duplicate it.
Yeah, and make sure that you're paying attention to those things because you keep using those tools or structures or whatever it is, right? Whether it's accountability systems or what have you. And then what to your point, because we all have these fears in one area or another, right? Like, you know what I mean? There's certain things that I'm totally not afraid of doing that you're crippled in fear in, and then there's and vice versa, right? So for example, I was talking to Aisha about and that's a friend of ours. I was talking to Aisha about the whole laying on the floor thing, because she was at our place earlier and she was like, oh yeah, I was just like, oh my god, like everyone's gonna think he's crazy and blah blah blah.
That's awesome.
And both her and my wife Crystal are very much alike in the sense that they're just, you know, they're really just afraid of being judged. right? And we all are on some level or another. But where that comes from, you know, I mean, we could get into a whole conversation about that, right? But at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, if I go to the mall right now and pull out my camera or lay on the floor, like, whatever it is.
It's in that vein, right?
It doesn't. Because here's the thing. All that's going to really happen, probably, most likely, is some people are going to walk by, not even notice. Some other people are going to walk by and be like, oh, that's kind of weird. Whatever. Maybe some people are going to take a picture of me and post it on Facebook. Like, what do I care? And then someone's going to walk up and say, hey, are you okay? Is everything good? Yeah, I'm fine. I'm just felt like laying down for a minute, you know. Like, you're using the floor for walking, I'm using it for laying down. Like, you know, it serves both functions. And then I'm going to stand up and walk away. And at the end of the day, there's going to be a few people that talk, oh, this crazy guy at the mall laid on the floor. I got a laugh out of it. Like, and I'm alive and I'm safe and everything's fine. It doesn't matter, right? But we're super afraid of what? That instant of judgment?
Yep.
Like, what are we afraid of?
It is that.
There's this, I'm reluctant to admit how much I like this, but there's a scene in Napoleon.
Just so that we got that.
There's a scene in Napoleon Dynamite when the girl, I don't know her name, but she's the one who comes to the door and she's selling boondoggle keychains and she does the glamour shots. So then when Uncle Rico and Kip need IDs to sell Tupperware and they got to look legit, they go to her to get their IDs. So she's doing these shots and Uncle Rico's doing this pose like this.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I remember that.
He's doing this pose. And it's like, the thing that I love about that is that because she believes, they believe. And that's it. To me, I thought, is she a photographer? Well, I don't know. Who's the objective? Who's the arbiter of whether she is or she isn't? She has clients. And her clients believe in her. Therefore, I mean, she is when she decides she is. And then if she builds her client pool, she's even more she is. I looking at that, I'm like, you need to decide that you are whatever it is that you are and just act like you are.
Yeah.
Period.
Totally.
That's just it. Because people sense it. They feel that. So, but I mean, as in a real sense, that with the rubber hits the road for me. Like this morning, I was at an event that I wasn't invited to, that I registered to. I went and I knew one person out of 60. They're all like, who are you? What are you doing here? And I'm introducing myself and saying, do you know, it's like, I'm a photographer or I'm a graphic recorder. It's like, so from event to event, I can feel myself either introducing myself with more or less gumption, audacity, saying, I am a graphic recorder. What's that?
Versus a question.
Yeah, say, I am, and this is the greatest thing that you have never seen, because most people haven't seen it. But once they see it, they're like, oh my gosh, it's cool.
So,
I don't. If I knew what to eat for breakfast to make it so then I was introducing myself that way, I would eat it every day. Because some days I'm like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what so.
That's the journey.
Yeah, that's it. And it's super relevant because most people are not willing to admit that. And they feel that a lot. And it might not be around their job or their business. They might just be going, like, what is my life for? Like, what do I want? What am I even doing? Right. And so, and then those are scary questions. So then we just go, oh, let's grab a drink or
answer that one. Yeah. Mañana.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to look at that tomorrow for sure.
Yeah. People don't show that face often.
That's like the tell.
Mm-hmm.
The tell all. Well, that's what they created it as. If I put that on the table, then they know. They'll be on to me.
That's right. Yeah.
They'll know I'm inventing it as I go along.
Yeah, like all of us.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Yeah. You know what the thing is as human beings, we're so much alike, and we, for some reason, we really don't like to admit it, or we just don't realize it, right? We all have, it might not be the exact same thing, but we have similar likes, dislikes, interests, fears.
Yep.
You know, like there's what was it Zig Ziglar said? What did he call them? I have to look that up. The big six, or the, he always says we all want to be, you know, relatively healthy, have good family relationships, have, you know, have good wealth. And I can't remember, there's a few things, other things in there. Like he was saying, we all generally want those same things, right? Yeah. And then he goes into his whole talk about it. But the fact that we're not all completely certain how to get them, for some reason, that's a big secret. Like, I don't want people to know that about me. You know, I got to do this alone and look a certain way, right? Rather than tapping into community and being vulnerable and just saying like, look, guys, I want to start this business or I want to do this thing and I have no idea what I'm doing, right?
Today, I took some time and reached out to all sorts of individuals. And while they weren't phone calls, they were very there was a seamless interaction that happened. There wasn't any intention other than creating connection and, hey, what are you up to? And how can I support you? Really would be the overlying theme of all of those interactions, and how easily they just popped and possibility was born, right? Yeah, I could totally go for a drink. What day are you thinking? Mm-hmm. Right? Like, it was just easy. Not that what I had done before wasn't easy, but there was always a background of,
yeah, there's all this other shit.
What's
in
it for me?
Yeah.
What's in it for me? What am I going to get out of this? And no, you know, they're not appropriate or they're not appropriate. Next. And then I'm wondering, why the fuck am I doing this? This is like draining, you know, that whole process. And, and that happened in under 20 minutes. Bang, 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 bang. Right. And then there will be a ripple of that, of varying sizes, because each individual had a different context for what was next. You know, what was the next conversation? What was the next meet going to be like? Mm-hmm. It wasn't a cut and paste type formula.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Right. And that rarely works. I'm clear. It rarely works.
What's that, the cut and paste thing?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
And when you just give it some time. So I was talking to Vern earlier, and this will be a segue into probably some videos that will be published as well. I got this beautiful piece here of confrontation and assessment, and it's called the Social Media Audit from my talented colleague, Allison, which we reviewed not too long ago. Well, actually, that would have been the end of August, and it had some plan in there to execute by September 30th, which,
you mean this
needless
September?
To say, yeah, this September, needless to say, it never happened. And how confronted I was just by knowing that I need to look at it again. And I'm like, ugh, I don't want to. And then I ended up looking at it again. And I can't even remember what the point of this was. What was I talking about before?
You were on the phone talking to people organically or something?
Yeah, right. So it was restated here in this document. You know what you're really good at? You're good at la, 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 la. And you should do more of that. Like, wow, it really wasn't that hard to look at this and go, you know what? I do need to create more content that has me bridge a connection with another individual that also maybe lives locally, that I could be of service to, and I don't have to overthink it as much as I tend to, because I have it that it's got to look a certain way.
Yeah.
You're going to tap a huge vein with me here in a sec about social media and tools that social media used to be like a family reunion or a class reunion.
Right.
But now Budweiser's my friend. So it now feels like going to the mall. Not that you still don't talk to your sister who lives over and so wherever and you see pictures that are family reunion, class reunion type stuff, but there's business persons, like corporate persons in there now.
Yeah, totally.
So imagine me at a social media conference and everybody's trafficking in the sheer number of their followers, 500,000, 300,000, and I've got 800 and I'm working at a dental office and I'm thinking... It's not... First of all, it's not apples to apples, but secondly, there's a relationship of balance, I feel like, that must be maintained between actual relationships and the tools that we use that are a reflection of the quality of those relationships. And an overarching principle about a contribution of human self that you put into those relationships, either in person, on the phone, through emails that are obviously, you know, longer than a couple lines. Like, you feel when someone's investing in you through whatever the tool. So I get a little bit defensive sometimes at the assertion that relationships can be commodified or value can be extracted after a certain point. Once it becomes too calculated, then I start to feel like the commodification meter is going off and the authenticity is diminishing. Maybe that's from somebody.
No, you nailed it, man.
From somebody who knows the power of scaling, they would probably say to me, you're thinking small, you're acting small. You know, you can build a massive tribe and get these tools working for you. I'm like, I know, I don't have any opt-in pages. I don't have any white papers. I don't have any customer relationship management.
Yeah, but look at someone like, we're going to use him because he's used often and he's an easy case, Mr. Vaynerchuk.
Yeah.
All he does is create content with, and he doesn't have any fucking opt-in pages or any of that stuff. He doesn't have any of that stuff. He does, and he does it on purpose because that's not what it's about. It's social media, right? He keeps driving that point across that there is a social interaction required inside of the media, but we've bastardized it. We've turned it into this crazy Frankenstein, which works in a lot of cases for certain things, but we're all trying to make it do something for us versus it just being another opportunity to express what it is that we're up to or who we're interacting with. Look at what we're doing here, right? But there ain't no opt-in page.
No.
Right? But that's what's about, but we get succumbed to that. It's like, oh, well, what's your conversion? My conversion to what? To building relationships? Well, I got strong relationships. I think it's a real fine line. And I find myself on the trapeze, what is it? The tightrope.
Yep.
And I'm constantly falling off one side or the other to try and maintain and figure out what my balance is inside of that, because there's no wrong answer. It's just what is it for us, for me, for you? When you talk about collaboration inside of social as a way to have it be more effective for you, to that you own it and you embrace it. Well, it's not you doing it necessarily all the time on your own.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that look like? Well, it's got connection and relationship at its core.
Yeah.
And maybe a little bit of opt-in if there's some sort of opportunity that you're creating, but it isn't that you're driving 24/7. Can't be. It's not you.
Mm-hmm.
It is Budweiser. Because they are at that level, right? Where they're just looking to get more beer in mouths.
Yeah, no doubt.
Right? Like, so yeah. And I grapple with this every day. Okay, so I'm going to document. And then I don't. Because I've got to do, well, I don't have the right video cameras. I need a second camera. You know, post-op is going to take this much. Fuck it. And then I don't
You know, as I'm listening to this, I'm thinking if someone is listening and watching, there's this fear of being laid bare in terms of like, oh my gosh, he hasn't done the due diligence to create his system. So, of course, he has no value to add because he's still thinking about it and he's inventing it on the fly. And even worse, he's sharing that process with everybody. But at the same time, that sort of authenticity is something that I've resonated with people who are just, what Brendan Bouchard says, when the light is red, you're ready. Like you're sort of fearlessly saying, this is what I'm trying to figure out. Although, to be my devil's advocate, now I'm looking at this social media audit, I'm thinking earlier you were talking about a systematic approach to change.
There are systems that are critical.
This is the very systematic approach to change, and I'm saying, oh, I don't know if I want to commit to a systematic approach to change.
What day are we? Today we're like the 25th.
Of October.
It was 30 days. No, 60 days after I got this audit that today I decided to look at it again. So yeah, systems and structures are critical and they are useless if you don't use them.
Absolutely.
Right? Like,
yeah, man. Okay. Guilty as charged.
Yeah. And hell, we're all guilty in some capacity and it all comes back down to what is it that's driving the bus? in the moment.
Yeah.
And it was awesome, actually. So I decided to go through it, and I also decided to video it. And then I ended up having a commentary with whoever else was on the other side of that camera about my social audit and some of the realizations that came out of it. I'm like, wow, all right, I'm clear what I should be doing here. And maybe you guys can look at what this looks like for you. Like, this is super valuable. And I wish I would have looked at it sooner.
You said something interesting just there about what's driving it. And I'm going to bring up Jocko again. He talks a lot about leadership. And he was reading some chapters out of this book. I was just listening to his podcast. And he's reading some chapters out of this book, and I'd have to go back and look at what the book is. Maybe we can do that and put it in the show notes.
Yeah, for sure.
But it's about a platoon commander, a story about like his experience in battle. And one of the things that he shared was there was some troops that were coming, American troops and American troops, they were coming over the hill and yelling, "Don't shoot, don't shoot," like friendly fire type of deal. And then they were running, and they caught up to their guys, and one of the commanders grabbed the soldier who was running, and he said, "You know, what are you running from? What's going on?" And he said, "We got to get out of here. There's, you know," they used military talk, I don't know the words, but there was guys coming. And he just held the guy. Basically, the dude was shell-shocked. He was freaking out, and there wasn't anyone coming. But they were in a battle, and he was convinced that there was guys coming. And the point to that whole thing was the commander was holding him and trying to get the story. And he was like, wait, like everybody just wait. Like, what's actually happening? And then he had another soldier that had eyes on the area that he was talking about. Oh, there's paratroops coming and this and that and the other thing. And then they, you know, he radioed and said, "Do you see anything?" And he's like, in a calm voice, came back and said, "No, sir, we don't see anything." Right. So basically he was trying to. He displayed leadership because it was like, slow down, let's assess the situation, let's see what's happening before we all start being human beings and just fucking running because somebody else is running.
Yeah, freak out. Right?
Because that's just it. We've all seen that on TV. We've obviously seen it on the media. We've seen it everywhere that when one person starts running or a few people start running and they're in a crowd, other people will just start fucking running and they have no idea why. By the time it gets to the back of the crowd, they don't actually know what they're running from, right? And is there a real danger? And he talked about that with people who are trained versus not trained in combat. When you have one, you know, if you have a bunch of guys who are in the same situation, there's 30 guys there, we've all got weapons, and one guy starts to shoot, if we're not careful, everybody will start to shoot. If we don't pay attention to what the fuck's going on, what's he shooting at? What's happening here? Everyone just starts unloading rounds all of a sudden. He brought up a story that was, he said it was in New York. There was an unarmed person. I don't know if he was a criminal or what the deal was because I didn't get enough details from the story. But there's an unarmed guy, and apparently the report was like 5 or 6 officers, and they unloaded like 57 rounds on this guy because they were all in the heat of the moment, and one officer thought he saw something, and he just started shooting. And then the other guys didn't ask any questions. One guy started shooting. We're all here together. We got each other's backs. They all just unloaded and started shooting because he started shooting. But nobody would, you know, had the sense to go, whoa, what the fuck's happening here? What are we shooting at? Right? So I think I lost a little bit why I started that whole rant. But
well, bring it back.
Oh, actually, I am going to bring it back to social.
Right.
Like, that's what I'm bringing it back to is like, what the fuck are we doing here? Because everybody's on social.
Yeah. You got to be on Snapchat. Yeah. Be on Snapchat.
And like, most people at the end of the day don't really fucking know why they're on there. I'm not saying it's good, bad, or different. I'm just saying that, you know, people have to know I'm alive. But do I really need to be all over social media? I don't think so. Because at the end of the day, like what I'm really looking to do.
Well, quantitatively, you can't. The fallacy is that this archetype that exists in recreation culture and fashion culture and embracing technology culture, like that's possible within the waking hours of every day. It's not. So everybody's, I said to my mom when I bought her a MacBook Pro and she was feeling anxiety, like she wasn't going to like serve it properly or allow it to fulfill the measure of its creation. I'm like, Mom, it's a machine. If all you use it for is what you use it for, that's fine. Don't worry about it. But like the idea that everybody can be on all these platforms, you're out of your mind. Like,
Amen, brother.
Preach
it. You can't be on all of them, and yet...
Well, we have the expectation set that that's what has to happen.
Well, that's just it. It's not even about whether or not I'm on them or what have you. What I've been very... I mean, over the last month or two, I've been very... I mean, I went like almost a month or more than I didn't even open up my Facebook. I went on there and I had like 200 of those
notifications
and stuff. And I just, you know, I've just been thinking... And being a lot more mindful when I'm on there now about anything, what I like, comment, post, share, it's intentional. It's like something that I see value in that matters to me either ongoingly or in the moment rather than like you were mentioning too before and in order to like, oh, I need to be on here and doing this and doing that and just, you know, being on there to be on there and posting shit because of whatever. I'm just really committed to creating deep and meaningful relationships, and I'm not interested in the herding, the sheeple, the, you know what I'm saying? Getting caught up in the banter, in the bullshit that's always shared on there, and people hiding behind their laptops and pretending like they're serving something. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Pretending like they're creating relationships when really all they're doing is giving it lip service or giving it, you know, technology service. They're just on there posting shit to post shit and not really taking a deep and meaningful interest in what people are actually up to. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's loud and clear. And when you're actually doing that, and there's a caveat to it too, right? So there is a... Did you guys read about the article in that what China's proposing to do to have a rating system in... Have you guys ever watched the series Black Mirror from Netflix? You guys should watch it. It's super trippy. There is a merit now in how we're using these tools, because these tools are here to stay. They're not going anywhere. You can't ignore the elephant. If the elephant's coming towards you and then it runs over you and be like, oh, well, shit. I didn't think it was going to do that. Like, well, okay, but you knew it was there. So,
yeah.
So there's
Black Mirror.
Black Mirror.
Black
yeah.
Mirror in China, you're saying.
Sorry. Well, that's the series in Netflix, but in China, they are proposing a rating system for their people. So you get a sense of who they are by the measure of what they've interacted with online, how they pay their bills, what they buy. Who they interact with, like all of that will be logged. And Black Mirror talks about a parallel universe. Like it's all very sci-fi, but what that world looks like. And I hope to God that it doesn't go that way.
No shit.
But, and there's an inevitability around it as well. Like you can't stop progress if we were to use some cliche term. It's here to stay. So how do you leverage it to your benefit without overextending yourself in the environments the playground that it presents, right? Mm-hmm. So that it works for you. It works for me and it works for you. Because you can't ignore it either, right? So you got to play the game.
Yeah.
But you can make your own rules.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
All right, so if I'm understanding it correctly, you're talking about sort of like a digital class or ranking or...
Yep.
Street cred, or I had a friend in high school who talked
about...
Oh,
you're a 4.0?
Exactly. Yeah, like a life measured Tinder kind of a rating thing. I sometimes you're talking about people doing and behaving a certain way in social, and I thought, I suspect that you might react to that sort of same sort of behavior within a work environment or an evening social environment. Like when you interact with people, you get a sense that maybe you're a means to somebody's business end, or maybe someone looks you down and looks at your shoes and you get the feeling like, whoa, you just assessed me and I was found wanting, you know? So this potential relationship feels like you obviously have the perception that you're doing me a favor, by us having a relationship. Therefore I'm feeling used. It's not only social, it's life, but I actually sometimes think that grown-ups are not nearly as impervious to that same high school popularity angst as we think.
No, we are totally
when my kids come home and they describe a situation where either they were embarrassed or they wanted to have a relationship with somebody and were shunned, or wanted to belong and they weren't, or wanted to be included and they weren't. And as a parent, you sort of undermine that and think, oh, I'm so glad I'm done high school. And I'm like,
we're in it right now.
That's part of the fear that has me not do some of the things that I say I want to do. Like, what if I say no?
I'm already feeling it because I have this, like, I've never done a podcast, so I'm feeling like there's somebody else in the room. And I'm thinking,
they're everywhere.
Now they really know the degree to which I'm like Rico. Making it up as I go along.
It brings it back full circle as to why we're doing this. This is a way for us to leverage the tools that are out there. And podcasting is like one of the ancients, if we were to look at what's considered the latest and greatest. And it's got its resurgence. Like most things happen in society, what's old is new again. And this was put out. We did this for the implicit reason to play in the sandbox. That is social. That is creation. That is like sharing and having a voice across the oceans of what's out there, right? Without any outcome, there's no desired outcome outside of this, right? This is just to create for the sake of creating.
That's pretty fun. So in the back of my mind, I think podcasts that I like to listen to, like I Love Marketing with Dean Jackson and Joe Paulus, they've got this like 8 profit activators, this blueprint, and the before unit and during unit and after unit. In my mind, I kind of feel like tacitly, like at some point in time, the gist is going to say, okay, here's our
formula.
Yeah. Here's our self-improvement, something or other. And
well, maybe, and, but not right now.
and this is the value. It's just like but what you're talking about is even more liberating. We're like, I don't have to live under the weight of like, what value am I going to live to the market?
Totally. Well, our whole intention is gritty, real, and uncensored. Mm-hmm. If we fulfill on that, we are doing exactly what we said we were going to do.
Absolutely. I might even drop an F-bomb.
Oh!
No.
Then it'll be documented. Be careful.
You said gritty, real, and uncensored. Oh, my God.
Yeah, there's very little censoring going on.
You know, I want to come back to this point quickly about high school. Nay. Elementary. There was a conversation that I had again with Aisha, I think it was. We were talking about this little talked about thing called emotional intelligence or emotional maturity. And for some reason, the statement that came from a friend of mine, Corey Doucette, back in New Brunswick, I'd like for you to listen sometime. He was pretty pumped when he found out that we have a podcast. And he said to me that, and he used to be like a corrections officer.
Okay.
Right. So he's seen a lot of really weird things, yeah, a lot of human behavior and things like that. And he said to me, you know, every man is loyal, you know, to a certain degree until you put them in a position where they can't be. Hmm. And that's a pretty deep statement, and there's some context that can be created around that. But what I'm getting at the end of the day is this whole popularity contest and all that kind of thing, we think because we're adults and we've got like experience and we know stuff that we're past certain things and we're beyond like, you know, the whole popularity contest and all that kind of bullshit. But the reality of it is, if you think that you're mature and grown up and you know stuff, pay attention to the next time you get pissed off about something and look in the mirror and see how you're behaving and how you actually deal with how you deal with shit when you're
someone cuts you off on the road.
Yeah. Like you're exactly right. It all comes back to the brain and the default programs that are going on up there and how the human being survives. We no longer, fortunately, have to run from animals, or for the most part, like, I don't know, tribes, people who are threatening our land and whatnot, right? So those new threats are, God, I hope I fit in with this group. Geez, I hope no one, you know, I hope I don't have a bad situation at work today. Or hope, oh, I just got cut off, fuck it! And then it's like, you know, and then...
Oh, that's rough.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, you know, the reptilian brain kicks in, you're fucking following this guy home, you crowbar his face, and you're in prison, you don't even know what the fuck... You're in the back of the police car, and you don't even realize what happened. And that's actually the reality of things. Like time will fly by when you're in a heightened state of fear or adrenaline. And so it's really important to focus on things like breathing, focus on things like, you know, paying attention to the sensations that are going on in your body and the stuff that you're dealing with. It goes back to even like the military, for example. The reason why those guys go through such intense training, depending on the various levels that they're in, but especially things like the Marines and Special Forces and that kind of stuff, they break those guys. They break them and they train them how to deal with very high stress situations and how to still cognitively think, because it's proven that you can't. Without training, without actually paying attention to it, when somebody gets under your skin or when something really bad or scary happens, the same mechanisms automatically kick in the body as if you were running from a bear. You can no longer think. Your only concern is to stay safe. And when that happens, you're not completely clear about your actions, right? You're just not.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Yeah, you tapped a number of stories that I would love to tell, but that line up with stories of less effective behavior in situations.
Oh man, I'm sure we've got a roster of those. And I want to be sensitive to our time here.
Yeah, sure.
We're coming up to an hour.
Wow.
And I got to say, this will be an entertaining podcast.
If nothing else.
If nothing else. No, really, there is a lot here. How do we want to close it off?
I mean, it really feels like it flew by and absolutely true to Unscripted. How do we want to close it off? I mean, what did you get out of today's podcast? What's really present for you right now?
Yeah, I knew you were going to ask me something like that, put it in my corner. What do you think, Aaron? Nice. I'm just joking. And you're totally welcome to answer.
Well, I think we all can.
Yeah. What my takeaway from this podcast was, so much of what we put in front of ourselves is made up and not real. And, as easy as it was to put it in front of us is just as easy to take it away. It can be. And that's the high level takeaway for me for sure. And as I listen to it again, no doubt there's going to be some fireworks going off.
I remembered feeling like, I feel like a good exercise for me might be to journal and ask, okay, in the past, when you were able to make that macro level change, or when you were able to audaciously stop doing that and start doing that and start to get the fruit from that new behavior, what were the essential pieces that made that work? Because those things that you feel okay, then you hit that resistance, and then you get into, I mean, maybe the atrophy lasts for weeks. Riding a bike is a good analogy for me. Like, people, it only takes a few weeks before I'm kind of looking at awe and wonder at people who are on their bikes at 5:30 in the morning. But when you're on your bike at 5:30 in the morning and you're feeling the juice, you're like, oh yeah, that's what the stuff is. So trying to align the strategies, because I'll be honest, some other people, they seem to change quicker. They've got it down to a habit and to a science. Sometimes reading a journal entry from 10 years ago and it's nothing much has changed, that can be kind of like a discouraging experience. So
oh my God, I'm still
That's an assignment for me, is to try to make a science out of those pieces that need to be in place for big change.
I'm going
to
offer you some gold here.
Not real gold.
Not actual gold. Yeah, no. Mr. Doctor. Can we edit that? Dr. Joe Dispenza. I want you to, and it's spelled just like it sounds.
All right.
Spelled like it sounds. We used to have a friend named, I have a friend named Jamie LeVacant.
I know him.
Do you know him?
Yeah.
Did you go to high school with him or something?
I went to, I don't know. Yeah, high school.
Yeah. And anyways, it's a long story, inside joke, but we used to call him Jamie, spell it how it sounds, LeVacant, because he would say, come on, man, spell it how it sounds, because it's spelt like Levascante. So nobody knew how to spell his last name. And then we used to call him Jamie, spell it how it sounds, LeVacant.
Jamie LeVacant.
I played football.
With this is gold for me, Dispenza.
Yeah.
Yep.
Dr. Joe Dispenza. Anyhow, my big takeaway, what I'm thinking about is something that Aaron drew for me earlier, is the self-imposed shackles of the mind, right? Like, the reality of it is, to use a landmark distinction, it's empty and meaningless. And we get to add the meaning to it.
Yep.
And we're just like literally in a whole shitload of areas, micro to macro, living inside of fear or avoiding fear, safety and comfort, right? There's not a, we don't walk around with, you said the juice. I love that. A lot of excitement for the most part. Don't you think? Like, for the most part, the mood and the feeling is pretty neutral.
Yeah.
Almost all the time. Safe. Yeah, right? It's pretty neutral. It's pretty routine. It's pretty, you know, where's the excitement? Where's the joy? Where's the fun? Where's the mystery and the magic, right? So what I said to my wife and Aisha earlier was that at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter. You know, there's been some people who are way.
That's going to be my mantra.
What's that?
At the end of the day, it really doesn't matter.
At the end of the day, it really doesn't matter. You can do anything and feel whatever, silly or embarrassed or whatever in the moment, or fun and excitement. And at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter, because, you know, there's been people who have been out there in the public eye and they've done some really whatever, scary, dangerous, bad, embarrassing things. And guess what? For the most part, they're still alive. They're okay.
Yeah. And it's old news.
And it's old news. Exactly. And if we're really out to live a fulfilling life and make a difference, we just got to like remind ourselves that at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter.
So that's episode 11. Thank you so much for listening. And we'll see you again real soon.